get it without a price. We don't mind. See, we've been doing it all the time. But if you want us to sacrifice, you got to give something back to life. You think I'm vulnerable to your pressure tactics because I shed a tear. Because I shed a tear. You think I'm vulnerable to your violence just because I'm sitting here. Because I'm sitting here. But my babies came into this world, y'all, without a single fear. Had no fear, cause the seven generations before me, they all fought to get us here, they fought to get us here, but I say, we don't mind, see we've been doing it all the time, but if you want us to sacrifice, we'll not get it without a price, but I say, we don't mind. Sacrifice. Got to give something back to life. Can't just come in here like that no more. Snatch up our childhood, our childhood. You can't just walk on up and replace it, yo. With your Hollywood, with your Hollywood. But I see now how all of the words you say, you think you misconstrued. It's gonna misconstrue.
Listening to Earth 101. My name is Itaji Aziz, and this is KPFT FM right there on your dial, 90.1 FM. You're listening to a show that covers all kinds of diverse issues. Mind, body, spirit, this earth, how we show up on this earth. You're listening to a show that's been here in many formats for the last 30 plus years. You're listening to a show that is part of the Pacifica Foundation Radio for Peace. a foundation, a nonprofit organization that uses their artistic abilities to produce radio shows that talk about the world that we desire. You're listening to Earth 101, but this show really is about you listening to yourself. This show is about showing up. It's about having the courage. It's about having compassion. It's about the passion. It's about the calling. It's about that voice inside. It's about that uneasiness you feel that when you put your feet on the side of your bed and you know there must be something left for me to do. It's about everything that calls us to our humanity. This is what Earth 101 is about. It doesn't cover issues in the same old paradigm that we were raised up in reference to the media and the news and radio and the newspaper that keeps us all in bondage with fear and terror. But it does allow the audience to talk about the story that they feel trapped in, to talk about the reconstruction of a story that will make a difference, not in our individual lives, because so many people listen to this show are so into caring about the whole and not just about the piece, not just about a part, about everyone, and stepping outside of the confines of just being in this country, but letting and allowing every country to be our country, that we become citizens of the world. So today, I want you to be real clear on listening to the show. Class has started. It was starting before you turned on the dial at 90.1. But take time to call up a friend, a relative, a mother, a brother, and say, sit down for a few minutes, an hour, and listen to this show. Because we have Dr. John DeMartini here today. And he's going to talk about financial abundance and prosperity and the secrets to creating and attracting fortune and wealth. And he will also be at Unity Church tonight at 7:30 p.m. So you want to go to theunityhouston.org and go ahead and just register and do what you need to do to be there tonight. And I'm not jumping from a position that wealth and fortune and all of those things are in some kind of fairy tale story. I want to recognize where the audience is. This audience is multicultural. It has wealthy people, it has working class people, it has homeless people, it has poor people, it has a large prison population, it has diversity of every culture and race and gender and sexual preference and whatnot. We represent this earth. We look just like God. So part of the story that we get trapped in and the challenges, I want to deal with that today. And if you want a free ticket, we're giving four free tickets away. And but you got to call with a question that makes sense, that's going to empower you and is going to help the listening audience that Dr. John DeMartini can respond to. And we want to deal with the challenges and the blessings within the storm. So we're in our country. We're dealing with issues of recession. We know thousands of people have lost their jobs. I don't know how many hundreds of houses were burned down not far from Bastrop in the last couple of days, not far from Austin, because of the wildfires. We've seen people lose everything to the flooding up north. We see children dying in Somalia. We see people have lost their homes, and some people have totally given up. We've seen people die, kill themselves, take out whole families because of the issues of prosperity. And that's why this show is so important, because I know everybody listening has had their button pushed. I'll be back in a second. The call-in number is 713-526-5738. You're listening to a show called Earth 101.
What can I do for you, Rod? You just tell me, what can I do for you?
It's a very personal, very important thing. Are you ready, Jerry?
I'm ready.
Just want to make sure you're ready, brother.
Here it is.
Show me the money. Does that make you feel good just to say that? Say it with me one time, Jerry.
Show you the money.
Oh, no, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it with you with meaning, brother. Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, no. Show you the money.
That's not so you. Show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah.
Louder. Show me the money.
That's it, brother, but you got to go.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money.
Congratulations, you're still my agent.
Earth 101, we're here. My name is Itaji. This is KPFT. And the number at the dial is 713-526-5738 on the radio dial, or even if you go to kpft.org, you can get it on the online all over the world. And it's 90.1 FM. Listen deeply. I simply say that because most of the shows touch everybody in a deep way. And we had Dr. John DeMartini here, and I want to say thank you for showing up in my life in this radio. I prayed and manifested you. it just came in the form of a radio show.
thank you.
And and we'll talk about all the great things you've done and the people you've worked with, but what calls to me, what kind of knocks me down and makes me get still, are the challenges of where you came from. So it's like sometimes I read the book at the last paragraph, the last, chapter before I get to the first. And tell us about the journey of how you got to be an expert on helping people create prosperity. Where did you come from?
Well, I was born in Houston, Texas.
One of us, huh?
Yeah, and I was born with my foot and hand turned in.
Mm-hmm.
And I had sort of a challenge with my shape.
Okay.
And I had to wear braces. And I begged my dad when I was 4, please let me out of the braces. I just want to be free. And he said, if you promise to keep your arm and foot straight, I'll let you out. And then I started running. I guess I've been on the run ever since.
Yeah.
I always believe that no matter what's happening in your life, it's on the way, not in the way.
Okay. On the way, not in the way. On the way, not in the way.
And then I got into first grade. Elementary school. And I was told by my first grade teacher in front of my parents that I would never be able to read, never be able to write, never be able to communicate, never be able to amount to anything, and never go very far in life because I had dyslexia and learning problems. And I couldn't comprehend reading. And so I made it through elementary school with the help of the brightest kids by asking them questions.
Okay.
So that taught me that if the quality of your life is based on the quality of the questions you're asking. If you ask amazing questions, you can get accomplished many, many things.
Okay.
And then my parents moved from Houston, Texas to Richmond, Texas. And there we lived in a rural area and in a lower socioeconomic area. And I didn't have a bunch of bright kids to ask the questions to. So I ended up dropping out of school and turning to the streets and hanging out in the streets. But I was good at sports because I could run. And I could balance because I was into surfing.
Okay.
So I eventually, when I was 14, I hitchhiked on what was the beginning of Interstate 10 to California. And on the way there, I had an amazing meeting with what I thought was a gentleman, kind of a bum on the street, turned out to be Howard Hughes. And I met this gentleman who took me to a library. Howard Hughes took me to the library, and he said, never judge a book by its cover. It will fool you. And he says, and learn how to read, because there's only two things they can never take away from you, is that is your love and your wisdom. So gain the wisdom of love and the love of wisdom. I made it to California and to Mexico and eventually to Hawaii to surf. And there I almost died when I was 17 years old from strychnine poisoning. Okay. And I was living in a tent. And luckily a woman found me in the tent in a very clearly close to death state. And it was her that led me to a little health food store. And one day, leaving that health food store, there's a little flyer on the door that led me to meet a gentleman named Paul Bragg.
But this is a movie. Paul Bragg, go ahead.
Paul Bragg was the one that initiated Jack Elaine's career.
Yeah.
He was a naturopath and longevitist that spoke for 1 hour with one message one night I happened to be at.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the beginning of a change in my life, because he said that we have a body, we have a mind, and we have a soul.
Mm-hmm.
The body must be guided by the mind, and the mind must be directed by the soul to maximize who we are. And we must set goals to for ourselves, our family, our community, our city, our state, our nation, our world, for at least 100, 120 years. And he said, tonight, whatever you decide to do with your life will be your destiny.
Okay.
And that's the night I saw a vision of doing what I thought I would never be able to do, which would be read and communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a vision of me speaking and traveling the world speaking.
Okay.
And that was 39 years ago. And so from that point on, I've been on a mission to do everything I can, to learn everything I can, to do whatever I can to help people live magnificent, inspired lives like this gentleman did for me that night.
Mm-hmm. And so what I'm hearing you say is that we don't have to stay in bondage.
Well, it has nothing to do with where we've been from.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what we've gone through or what we're going through. What matters is, do we have a vision and a dream? And are we willing to do the things that stand the test of time that lead to awakening our unbonded self, so we can do something extraordinary in a contribution to the world? Because that's really what deep inside we're yearning to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a believer that it doesn't matter. What matters is, do you have a dream?
Mm-hmm.
And if your vision is greater than your obstacles, the obstacles become fuel, not friction.
So the whole journey that you just described were situations and miracles and people showing up in your life that kept you making the decision that I'm not going to be bonded by this history.
Well, there was a moment when I first came back from Hawaii to Houston. I flew back to Los Angeles. I hitchhiked back to Texas. And my mom, when I came home, she says, why don't you take a GED, a high school equivalency test? And I was told by Paul Bragg that if I said this affirmation, I am a genius and I apply my wisdom, it could help me in my life.
Okay.
So I started saying it.
Okay.
And I've never missed a day since.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up taking a GED by guessing and passing. So I got me a high school equivalent. And then she suggested I try to do a college class while the surf was down. And I took a class and I passed. And then I started to try to go to college, and my first class, first test, I got a 27 instead of a 72, and I failed. And then came the old voice from the first grade teacher. He'll never be able to read, never be able to write, never communicate, never go far.
Yeah, I've heard her. She was my teacher, too.
Yeah. Well, that's why you're out with a message today.
Yeah, yeah.
And I literally cried on the way home. I curled up in a fetal position underneath a Bible stand at my house, parents' house. And my mom came home from shopping, and she saw me there crying. She hadn't seen me crying in a long time. And I just crying. I just didn't see any light. I was in the darkness. I was in the doubt, not the vision.
Okay.
And she said, son, what's happened? I told her I failed. I got a 72. I mean, I got 27 instead of a 72. The dyslexia had the numbers backwards. And she said something that was transformative, that I hope that whoever's listening can get the feel of my mother's message at that moment.
Okay.
And that was, son, whether you become a great teacher, healer, and philosopher, and travel the world like you dream, whether you go back to Hawaii and surf, ride big waves like you've done, or whether you return to the streets and panhandle as a bum, I just want to let you know that your father and I are going to love you no matter what. And in that moment of unconditional love and certainty and presence and gratitude, my hand went into a fist. I recaptured my vision of traveling the world.
I hear you.
And I said to myself, I'm going to master this thing called reading. I'm going to master this thing called studying. I'm going to master this thing called teaching. And I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to travel whatever distance. I'm going to pay whatever price to give my service of love. And I'm not going to let anybody on the face of the earth, not even myself, stop me this time. And that was the moment I made a no turning back kind of commitment.
Okay.
And I knew it was my dream. And at that moment, I was not going to let anything stop me. And I hugged my mom. I went into my room and I started reading a dictionary, and I literally memorized 30 words a day until I had a vocabulary enough to get caught up with the rest of the kids.
Okay.
And that was the beginning of a journey now for 39 years to research, write, travel, and teach every day of my life.
Okay. This program's yours now. I might even go home and listen to you on the radio at home. But what does the listening audience need to know to get into the mindset? And, of course, if you're listening now, you'll be able to come see this wonderful miracle that I am a witness to tonight at 7:30 at Unity. But tell them some of the first steps for someone just turning on the dial. What do you want to say to them?
When I was four, I was being put to bed by my mom. And she said, "Son, before you go to sleep tonight, I want you to think about what you're grateful for. I want you to count your blessings. Because the people who are grateful for what they have, they get more to be grateful for."
Okay, we're talking about gratitude then.
Yeah, so I do every day a list of what I had the opportunity to be and do and experience, including be on this show right now.
Okay.
I write down, I had the opportunity to whatever the thing is, and I document what I'm grateful for. And even if it's, it seems to be so small, piggy banks become piggy banks. Okay. Small step become big visions.
Okay.
And I just, if you just every day write down what you are grateful for, your mindset starts focusing on the flowers, not the weeds. It starts focusing on the possibilities, not the challenges. It starts giving yourself permission to do things inspiring, not despairing.
Okay.
So if we don't fill our day and our minds with things that inspire us, it will constantly be filling up with things that despair us as feedback mechanisms to get us to be our truly inspired, authentic, contributive self. So gratitude.
So gratitude is a part of shaping that mindset.
And I know so many people that want to run the story about what's not working. But it's amazing what happens when you start looking at what is.
Now, that time that you were in the fetal position, obviously you were in a lot of emotional pain. And what I'm hearing from you is that your mother is pouring on that blessing of love and unconditional acceptance was the one of the leverages that boosted you into who you are today.
Every book, every seminar, every consult, everything I do still revolves around the gratitude process.
Okay.
Because gratitude is the key that opens up the gateway of the heart. And inside the heart is that love.
Okay.
And that love window washes the mind and allows it to be certainly present and inspired, which then brings enthusiasm to the body and renewed vigor to take actions on the things that we really, truly would be inspired to do.
Okay.
And it helps us transcend those limitations that we're running around in our head as brain noise and allows us to believe in possibilities and take actions like we've not done before.
So what I'm hearing you is that for us or those people in the audience who didn't have mother on any level, or father, or that conditional love, that gratitude becomes the internalized mother.
Well,
the love that
there's a amazing. I was in Nepal and in Tibet, and I had the opportunity to spend time with a Bonpo Lama, and I went to the temple there, and we had a conversation, and he's the head of the Bon faith, and we talked about a principle called nothing's missing, and we have a perception that things are missing. But they're actually in forms that don't match sometimes the fantasies that we hold on to. And if we stop and look at who is representing our mother at this moment, we'll discover that somebody, one or many, male or female, close or distant, virtual or real, is representing those components. And if we can honor the form that it's in and not addict and fantasize about the form that it's not, we can start to have that key to the gratitude to open up newer possibilities. So we always have to ask, whatever I think is missing, what form is it in? And don't stop until we uncover it. And once we discover it, that gratitude is natural. And when we do, we open up new possibilities in our minds, see new visions of possibility.
All right, and we allow ourselves to see what's already there. And because we're stuck in our old paradigm, that we don't even see that it's always there and never went anywhere.
Can I share a story?
Oh, yes.
I had a gentleman who came to me many years ago, and he says, "Dr. DeMartini, I'd like to consult with you and have you help me become successful." And I said, "Fabulous. Where are you successful?" And he said, "No, Dr. DeMartini, I'm not making myself clear. I'm not successful. I want to be successful." And I said, "Okay, where are you successful?" He said, "Dr. DeMartini, you're not listening to me." I said, "No, you're not answering me. Where are you successful?" And I made him look, and he goes, okay, I do have a successful relationship with my wife. Mm-hmm. We've been together 10 years. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing, and I deeply love her, and I guess that's a success. And I said, where else do you have success? Mm-hmm. He says, well, I have a son, and he and I are in baseball, and I'm like the coach, and we may win the pennant this year. Mm-hmm. I said, where else are you successful? Mm-hmm. He says, well, we have this beautiful yard, and the whole family works on it with flowers, and I think we're going to win the yard of the summer. I said, where else are you successful? He says, well, my mother-in-law lives with us, and most people don't get along with their mother-in-laws, mm-hmm. but we have this amazing relationship, just like a real mother, and I think that's unique and successful. Mm-hmm. And where else? Well, I sometimes do ministerial work on Wednesdays and mm-hmm. Sundays at my church, and that's been a dream since my 20s. And I made him list the things that were successful. Mm-hmm. And then I said, well, the only reason you're not believing you're successful is because you're comparing yourself to somebody else and subordinating to the fantasies you've projected onto mm-hmm. them. So who is this person you think you're not successful in comparison to? Mm-hmm. He says, well, I think I know it is. It's this gentleman up on the hill. He's got this big house, mm-hmm. 7,000 square foot house, and this multiple car garage and big doctor. And I said, so how's his relationship with his wife? Well, from what I hear, they're having some challenges. Mm-hmm. And does he have children? Yes. Mm-hmm. And what about his son? Yeah, there's some problems with him. They're having to go to the therapist mm-hmm. over it because he's doing drugs. Mm-hmm. And the yard, I think they have people that do that. I don't think they even notice it. Mm-hmm. And what about the mother-in-law? Oh, well, they moved out of the country to get away from her.
Okay.
And what about the church? I don't think they go to church. Mm. And I said, I got a question for you. Can you see that this gentleman has success in his own value system? Mm-hmm. And would if you could trade places with him and have to have the same family and spiritual quest as he does, would you be willing to change? He says, oh, no. Mm-hmm. I said, well, you got to see that he has a high value on business and finance, but maybe not as much on spirituality and family. Mm-hmm. But you're having a calling to have a beautiful family and spiritual quest, and your highest value isn't business and finance. Mm-hmm. So if you have envy and imitation of somebody that's not you and try to live in somebody else's values instead mm-hmm. of your own, you're going to have what I call the anger and aggression and blame and betrayal and criticism and challenge mm-hmm. and despondency and despair within yourself because you're expecting yourself to live in their values, not your own.
Okay.
It's time to awaken mm-hmm. the appreciation of how your success is already magnificent. And when you can appreciate who you are as you are mm-hmm. and not subordinate and compare yourself to somebody else, mm-hmm. you can appreciate the magnificence you offer the world.
So what would you present as a working definition of abundance and wealth?
Abundance is the realization that the things you thought were missing are in a form mm-hmm. that match your true, authentic hierarchy of values, things that are really priorities for you. And so many people are afraid to admit what's really important to them, mm-hmm. and they have fantasies. Let me give you an example. I speak in front of literally thousands of people, mm-hmm. and I ask people, how many of you would love to have financial independence? Everybody puts their hand up.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you have financial independence? Most everybody puts their hand down.
Yeah.
I said, if I was to give you, say, $10 million right now and write a check to you,
mm-hmm.
99% of you would immediately spend it on things that you think would give you immediate gratification, that would be depreciables, that are consumables that would be deteriorating.
Mm.
1% of you would probably take it and put it in investments and savings and make sure it would double and grow. The people that really truly have financial wealth
mm-hmm.
and not just wealth in the other forms of life are the people that value money. So you have to have that if you're going to have cash because mm-hmm. money circulates through the economy automatically from those who depreciate it to those who truly appreciate it because it's a means of exchange, of exchanging something of service for something of service. And if you don't have a dedication to serving people and you don't value yourself, mm-hmm. you won't have a source of money and you won't have a resource to save the money.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to appreciate that. But everybody has wealth. It just may be in the form of beautiful children.
Mm-hmm.
It may be in the form of spiritual understanding. It may be in the form of a beautiful yard.
Mm-hmm.
But it may not be in the form of cash unless you have also a value on cash.
Because I know there's someone saying, well, you know, that's really great, but how am I going to pay rent this month?
What
about the lights?
The wisest thing I can say is this, and this is something my dad gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can thank him for this. When I was 9, I went to my dad. I said, Dad, I want to earn some money. He said, great, son. I said, so what can I do to earn money? He says, well, have you mowed the yard? Yes. Have you edged the yard? Yes. Mm-hmm. Have you swept the sidewalk? Yes. Have you clipped the hedges? Yes. Have you cleaned the gutters? Yes.
Okay.
Have you cleaned out the garage? Yes. Have you done all the shining of the shoes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He said, son, I don't have anything more that I need done. So if you want to earn money, you're going to have to go to the neighbors.
Okay.
So when I was nine, I started walking up and down the street looking at neighbors' yards to look at what I can do.
Yeah, I see you walking. Okay.
And I walked up to the Mrs. Grubbs' house and the Evans' house and these people that live there. And I said, I noticed that your yard needs an edging, or it needs a hedge clipping, or it needs some weeding. Is there any way I could do those services for you and somehow get paid? And they looked at me and they saw I was sincere, and they gave me the opportunity. And I started doing that, and I started earning money. And all of a sudden, I started buying me a baseball and a glove, and I started buying things. And I started to put money away into my little coin collection set. And he said, my dad said, I noticed you have a new ball and a glove. Where did you get this? I said, I went out and earned it, like you asked. He said, how did you do it? I said, well, I started weeding and mowing and yards. He said, what equipment did you use? I said, well, the equipment in the garage. He said, son, I have to teach you that if you're going to use that equipment, there's a depreciation on that, and I have to charge you for that. So he started charging me for the equipment, for the use of everything. And I then eroded my profit margins. And then I realized I have to work a little harder to do it to take care of the profit. So I started hiring other kids in the neighborhood to get them involved in helping me and paying them a portion of it so I could actually get more leverage out of it. And then I paid the neighbors for some of their equipment also so I could use and do many different people. And I ended up making some money. And my dad then said to me, I'm so proud of you, son, that you found a way of serving people, because there's never a lack of money to a person who's dedicated to serving.
Okay.
And then he said something really amazing. He said, I want you to know what the next level of freedom is. What's that? He says, I want you to know what it's like to pay for everything. Okay. From now on, you're going to pay for some of the rent, and you're going to pay for some of the food, and you're going to pay for all the things, the clothes. But with that is going to come freedom. You're going to be able to go anywhere you want on your bicycle as long as you're home by 9 o'clock. And you're going to be able to do what you want to do on the weekends. I'll ask you to be home at 9 o'clock. I want you to take on these accountabilities. I want you to know what freedom is, and I want you to know what it is to be service. I'm an entrepreneur today because of that.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. He was setting you up. He was setting your mindset right now. So let's switch a minute, and I want you to talk to, we hear what you did and how you did it and your dad and whatnot. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, if somebody can sell crack cocaine, they can run a business.
That's
a population that's listening to you now.
Well,
they did the profits and all, you know, they got buddies to run the game, but they ended up in TDC instead of where you are.
Well, I've been blessed to actually, I did that myself.
Okay.
So I do have an understanding of that.
Okay.
I was into the in fact,
the underworld.
I came into this area of town in 1967.
Okay.
And this was an interesting area in 1967,
okay,
as you know.
We probably ran into each other. I'm thinking we know each other.
We
so
probably did.
One day we're going to say, John, is that you?
But, yeah, I used to sleep at Stadium Bowl, if you remember where that
is. Okay, you know the life, the nightlife. Yeah.
And I'm familiar with that. But
so why didn't you end up in TDC,
you know,
and where you are now?
I think I had a bigger vision deep inside me that was yearning to express itself.
Okay.
But I'm not saying that, I'm not convinced that just because you've been in TDC, you can't do something extraordinary.
Yeah.
That may be a great stepping
stone.
That's
the story that hangs on them. I mean, I've seen people come out of there and 50, 60 times trying to get a job and they can't even get it hired.
I have a gentleman, if there's anybody here that does have access to the internet, go to Larry Joe Live. And it's a gentleman from the Douglas Correctional Unit in South Africa.
Okay.
And I've had the opportunity to work with this man. And he had to go to jail. His father and mother, it was a very challenging beginning. And he ended up in a gang and doing the drugs and all the things that went with it. The big gangs, not the little ones.
Yeah,
the
big ones.
And he was in the major prisons there and in Douglas Correctional. And he took up music and a guitar to deal with it. And he ended up being able to sing and do guitar, and somebody recognized it, and he became so talented, they actually asked him to do a performance outside the prison. And somebody there was an agent, and somebody who helped build a real recording artist, recognized it, and they recorded him in the prison. And now he's traveling the world helping people in prisons believe in new possibilities.
So we're talking about a whole new paradigm in mindset.
And he is an inspiring man. And so if you get a chance to go to Larry Joe Live, you'll serve his life and he'll serve your life.
Okay.
And I really believe that it's not what happens to you. It's what you decide to do today, right now.
All right. That's powerful. I'm rotating this through my mind is over and over.
And you said something really important. Mm-hmm. If you can manage the crack deal, mm-hmm. you are an entrepreneur.
You are already.
And you have the capacity to find things that really serve people long term, mm-hmm. not immediate gratifying. Mm-hmm. Immediate gratification costs lives.
Okay.
But long term vision expands and prospers lives. If you gear to find the thing that people really want that helps them in their fulfillment of long term life, that same entrepreneurial spirit and creativity and daringness mm-hmm. can be turned into massive fortunes.
Wonderful. 713-526-5738. If you're one of those four callers that really want to be with us tonight, you go ahead and call and ask the question. Anybody can call in so that you can get a clearer understanding of what's the next step in your customized paradigm. What is the next step? 713-526-5738. We'll take a music break, and I want to remind you, Tuesday, today, September the 6th, 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 at Unity Church, Dr. John DeMartini will be there tonight. You'll actually be able to be a part of the audience and hear more of what we're talking about today that we can't cover in that hour about your own, financial liberation. But I know that this is a bigger definition of what that, because we've seen people with millionaires jump out of a window. You know, we saw the suffering of Michael Jackson. We've seen so many people, and we say, if I could just get that, if I could just have that amount of money, I'd be okay. But, you know, what I'm noticing as I get okay operates on so many different levels, you know, so many different levels of freedom and liberation. 713-526-5738. Call now, and we'll be with you in a minute. I know that money. You're listening to Earth 101. My name is Itaji Aziz. This is KPFT 90.1. The number to call us, 713-526-5738. And as we had announced earlier, that if you want a seat, you want a ticket, a free ticket tonight to go to Unity, the first four people that we can write, you know, write your name down, you'll be there tonight and you'll be sharing this wonderful miracle with Dr. John DeMartini. And so let's go ahead and talk to Jeff now. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hi there. I got a question for Dr. John DeMartini.
Yes.
I'm not sure if I'm really asking the right person this, but you seem to be financially savvy, so I figured what the hey, I'll call in and ask.
All right.
What I'm trying to do, what my vision is that I want to build the most sustainable lifestyle possible. And I've been running numbers and coming up with plans and designs for the last couple of years. And basically, I've gotten it down to the point where I can live that life that I want to live for the same amount of money that I'm paying to live this destructive, confused life that everybody seems to be caught up in. But my question is, how do I get out from where I'm at? How do I get out of this mortgage that I owe more than it's worth? How do I get out of this house that I cannot sell in this economy so that I can basically get a new mortgage and start building the dream that I have? How do I transition from here to there?
Okay.
That's a great question. I'm assuming that you have a, if you were to sell your property, there's no equity in it and you'd be in a declining position?
Right. I mean, there's some equity in it, but I mean, obviously it's not enough.
Enough to cover the difference.
Right.
Well, and do you have a very clear, what is your career? Do you have a clear career right now that's a source of income?
Yeah, I'm a technician.
And what I usually do is if I always say, love what you're doing until you have a clear pathway of doing what you love. So that's first. So you either, what I would do is I would write down, how is the career that you're taking on right now, how is that helping you get to where you want to go? Because believe it or not, if your heart is into what you're doing, you're more likely to get promotions, opportunities, and more income from doing that. Mm-hmm. And then I would first start, there's a thing called naturally existing economic relationships. It's wise to go to the people you work for and look for additional opportunities to earn income in that position, just in case there's ways of taking that money and accelerating the payment of the mortgage or accelerating some money to give you some liquid cash to start the next opportunity.
Okay.
Then I would be working on the business plan, and I mean sincerely, a literally legitimate business plan on what you are going to do. Because if you never decide what you're going to do that you love, you'll always be trapped in the things that you're not.
Okay.
And so, first of all, everything is ultimately on the way. Everything is providing us insights, tools, skills, opportunities, connections that we're in. And if we can look and see all the benefits of what we're doing, it will open up new possibilities and doorways for the next step. But if you don't get clear about the next form of service that's an income source that's viable, you'll be trapped. So
powerful.
Take what you've got, appreciate what you've got, see how it is, look for opportunities to earn more, even if it's transient, temporarily, and then start building a business plan on what you want to do. And then whatever you do, take a portion of what you make, even when you think you can't afford it, and save. Here's why I say that. When you start to manage money wisely, you start to attract more money to manage.
Okay. Right.
When you start to pay yourself, you start to attract other people that start to pay you. When you start to invest in you, other people begin to believe in possibilities and invest in you with you. And when you start to say that, hey, I'm worth it, the world starts treating you as if you are, and you start attracting people, places, ideas, things, and events to synchronize in your new prosperous pathway. You'll be surprised how many people will buy you lunch instead of you paying for it, and the difference you can put into savings.
Powerful.
So start the savings process no matter what.
Okay.
Even if you think you can't afford it. I started with a gentleman that didn't believe he could save anything, and I said, well, can you do $5 a day? And he goes, no. $5 a week? He said, yeah. Then start.
Mm.
2 years later, he was at $250. And 2 years later, he was at $800. He kept growing that. It's you know, piggy banks become piggy banks, and it's not how much you save. It's the habit of saving that lets the world know that you're committed to doing something amazing financially. And then the greater your cause of service to the world, the greater the wealth potential. So get really clear about what you want to do and make sure it's not a projection of fantasy of what you think the world wants. Find out really, truly what the world wants, because I assure you, you have the skills, the talents, and the brain power to find a way of being of service to people to earn income. The greater the service, the greater the source of income.
Thank you. Take
all
care.
Right, thank you very much.
All right.
You're giving me a lot of food for thought.
I'm up for adoption. I'm moving in. I know you've dreamed about this black daughter all your life.
From what we learned a while ago, we have made more connections than we think.
Yeah. Okay, who's next online? You're listening to Earth 101. This is KPFT 713-526-5738. Jim, talk to us.
Yeah, this is Jim.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about something they said earlier. I suspect that my beginnings were very similar to his. I actually did some hard time in another state at one point, and I make a very good living right now. And one of the key elements of that is to not stay down in that ex-con world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that you're not an ex-con. You're somebody else now. And even if it means lying on a resume or on an application for a job, you know, if you got some missing years or missing months, you were a contractor, you were self-employed, you were whatever. But don't let that time keep you from moving on up.
Now, do you have a question, Mr.
Whatever
Young?
It takes. No, I just wanted to make that comment.
Can I make a comment?
Take care.
I really love what you said, and here's why. Many years, in 1984... I believe I was speaking in Chicago, and I was on the program with Wayne Dyer.
Okay.
And I walked up to Wayne afterwards, and I said, Wayne, I desire to be an international professional speaker traveling the world and inspiring people by the millions.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what advice can you give me? And he said, start telling people that you're an international professional speaker.
Right now. Be in the now.
And I said, but I'm not. I've only done it in the States. And he says, well, argue for your limitations, and they're yours.
Oh, I love that.
And argue for your
limitations.
And so I said, well, okay. So I just start telling people I'm a national professional speaker. He says, yeah. He says, the masses wait to see things to believe them. The master believes them and then sees them. So he said, just start doing it. So I started telling people. So they said, what do you do? He says, well, I'm an international professional speaker.
Okay.
Do you know that in a matter of weeks, I got my first international professional speech?
Okay.
And today it's real.
You just answered.
So what you just did is you were not focused on weeds. You were focused on the flowers. You were not focused on the victim of your history. You were focused on the mastery of your destiny, and you got the results of that. So thank you for doing that.
Wonderful.
No problem.
You take care. Bye-bye. Now, Jim, are you coming tonight?
No, I'm not going to be able to.
Okay. I don't know how many people we got open for free tickets. So if you're calling and you have a question, you want a ticket, you're coming tonight, do tell the engineer because I'm making a list. All right. Let's go to the next person.
I did tell him, man.
All right. Take care. Okay, bye-bye, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Who's next? Rashida.
Yes. Hi, Itaji.
Hi. How you doing? Talk to us. I know you got a bone-cracking question. I know you.
Well, he did answer some of them, and I do have on my business cards exactly what I want to do. And when people ask me, why do I have venture capitalists, I say, I'm on a venture looking for capital to do real estate, to help improve a community, to help people have decent, good living, you know, properties to live in. So, you know.
So what's your question, huh? Because we got a little bit of time.
I know. Mm-hmm. He basically answered the question. Mm-hmm. I do want to come tonight and finish hearing him.
Did you tell the engineer?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so we got you down for tonight.
Okay.
All right, because I know you're a hard worker. I know you.
Yes.
You know, like the old Jamaican joke about doing everything. You iron, wash, you build the house, you run down the street. Yeah.
They say if you want something done, give it to a busy person.
Give it to a busy person. all right. You take care. Love
you.
All right.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Next caller, please. This is Earth 101. Royce, talk to us.
Hello. How are you?
Yes.
I was calling... Because, of course, I had a question, but just wanted to say I've been through the breakthrough experience with Dr. Martini. I've also read his Inspired Destiny, which is an outstanding book. And right now I'm on my personal quest toward financial independence. And I'm definitely on my way. I'm saving about 35% of my income now. My major question is, how do you feel about putting a time constraint on a certain level of income earning or savings that you plan on getting? And for me, that number is about $150K right now within 18 months. But my thing is, I would not want to place a constraint on myself if it's not realistic. But I do believe that if I put that in my mind, mm-hmm. that there is definitely a way to achieve it. I just need to figure it out how I can do it.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
Okay, well, I think that's wonderful.
We're going to let you go, and he can answer the question.
I think that's wonderful, because I found that when you put a time and space clarity, I won't put a constraint on it, because you always say either this or something greater, because if something greater comes along, you're always adaptable to the next more efficient and effective way of getting things. But at least starting it, because that targets you on specific actions that you can go to accomplish this. Mm-hmm. So I always say chunk down big projects into small bites. Mm-hmm. And eat it one bite at a time, and look at what it takes to get that in the next, you said 18 months, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a firm believer that's possible, but you must be willing to actually put the strategy in place that is realistic, that allows you to truly do that type of service to get that reward. You know, I bought a book called The Dynamic Keys to Prosperity by Catherine Ponder about, I don't know, 30 years ago. And I took and wrote a check for $1 million, an artificial check to myself back then. And I said I wanted to be a millionaire by a certain date.
Okay.
And I can't say that I reached that on that exact date,
mm-hmm.
but it was shortly after.
Okay.
And I can say that I had to sit down and go, okay, how many clients do I want to serve? How many people can I serve? How can I leverage myself? How mm-hmm. can I create ancillary income sources? How can I produce more products? And there's vast fortunes sitting inside us. We just haven't put them into package forms. And I started to think outside the box and mm-hmm. think about other ways I could earn income. And I made my goal, but it was just a little bit later than I anticipated.
And as I hear the story of you becoming a millionaire, I see the boy who's going to see if other people need their grass cut, if other people do this, or what, you know, that whole breakthrough that you initially had with your dad.
Well, you know, what I did is, it's interesting, I found myself asking these questions.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do that's redundant in a day, that I keep doing the same thing, that's not getting me the highest priority actions? And I started to prioritize my actions every day. I literally kind of like videoed in my mind the day mm-hmm. and looked at what my actions were. And then I put next to them how much time was spent, how much did it mm. produce per hour or minute, and how meaningful it was, and how much time was spent. And I was literally able to prioritize my day into the things that produced the most with the least amount of effort.
Okay.
And the ones that took longer period of time and didn't produce.
Okay.
And I started to figure out a way of delegating lower priority things to other people that would love to do that.
But you don't want to do it.
But that it's not wise for me to do it. And that allowed me to extract surplus labor value and mm-hmm. increase jobs. So okay. increased jobs and increased returns. And I was able to save more and move on to my objective quicker.
We're listening to Dr. DeMartini. And the important thing that you can do is dial 713-526-5738. Let's go to the next caller. Bada. Hello?
Yeah. I'm calling. I guess I just wanted to get some information. I'm enjoying the show. It's fantastic as always. First question is, where is it going to be held? Because
It's going to be at Unity Church, and that
is that?
Unity yeah. Church. Here, oh, thank you, Lord. Unity Church is here's a number 713-782-4050, and it is 5959 Unity Drive.
It's on the corner of Hillcroft and Richmond area.
It's across the street from that big post office. 5959 Unity.
Hillcroft in Richmond. Okay,
yes.
I'll be there.
Yeah. So you want a ticket? So we're talking about giving you a ticket?
Yeah, I'll get one.
Okay.
But the question I have is, how do you, when you have a lot of things that you can be capable of doing, how do you decide on what to do? Because it seems to me I've been going back and forth vacillating about so many things, and it's because I can do so many things, but something that gives the highest bang for the buck, so to speak, but really on a spiritual tip more than anything else, because see, that's where we need to be moving.
So you're talking about starting your own business?
Not necessarily business,
okay.
but I guess this pathway going forward.
Well, all right, Dr.
Whatever is inspiring to you is a spiritual contribution.
Mm.
And whatever contributes to fulfilling another person's values is a service.
Mm.
And spiritual service is an inspiring service to others is the most significant. So finding the thing that is a combination of what will provide the greatest potential income per hour
mm-hmm.
that is also the most meaningful. That's why I write down how much can it produce per hour and how much meaning it means in my life. And I try to find the balance between those two so I'm inspired to get up and be of service. If I do, I will earn the greatest income. There's nothing more than, I always say when you can't wait to get up in the morning and be of service, people can't wait to get that service.
Okay, great.
And that's where you earn the most.
Yeah, and I've noticed if you're suffering, if you feel horrible about your business, you need to take a deeper look.
Well, if you're not inspired by your business,
mm-hmm.
People can sense it.
Yes.
And it's going through a depreciation, not an appreciation. Uh-huh. It was Peter Lynch who mm-hmm. wrote One Up on Wall Street who said, when I invest in a company and I buy stock in a company, I'm looking for four things, mm-hmm. qualitatively.
Mm-hmm.
One, are the people grateful for their job?
Mm.
Do they love what they're doing? Are they inspired by the vision of the company?
Mm-hmm.
And are they enthusiastically working?
Mm-hmm.
If they have those four things, he knows he can invest in that stock mm-hmm. because he knows it's going places because the human element is congruent.
Mm, powerful. Let's get another person online.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. See you
Thank
tonight.
You.
I think we're talking to RB? Hello? Okay. Glenda?
Yes. How
Talk
are
to
you?
Us. Uh-huh.
Great. Got an interesting. He almost answered my question. Good evening, Dr. Mancini.
Good evening.
You almost answered my question when you talked to the other person, but here's mine. It's kind of strange, I think. There's something that I have in my heart to do, but it's in an area that has been a weakness for me all my life. I love to do it if I had all the time in the world to do it,
mm-hmm.
and that is house cleaning and organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I have suffered from chronic disorganization for a while, so I have definitely an understanding, a heart for it, and an understanding for it. And I'm just wondering, can you give me some insight on why it is such a strong desire for me to do something like this when it's a challenge for me?
Right.
Now, did I hear health organization or organization?
Organization in general. You're talking about organizing in general, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Or professional.
Yeah, cleaning houses and professional organization.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not being killed by your clutter. Go ahead. I already gave you a brand. Go ahead, baby.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's because I feel it as an opportunity to create.
But you got to let him answer because we got to go off of air.
Go ahead.
Everybody lives by a set of priorities, a set of values, things that are most important to least important. And
mm-hmm.
whatever's highest on your values and priorities is where you're most organized and ordered.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So finding out what truly is most meaningful to you, most inspiring to you, that is where you will not let yourself down and you'll be consistently and persistently organized.
Okay.
Find out that area of organization that gives you that feeling and you won't let yourself down. You'll excel at that area.
All right. Take care.
All right.
Can
Thanks.
We squeeze
Bye.
Peter in? All right, Peter, real quick question.
Yeah, what's your spiritual background? This is so wonderful. I want
Dr. John DeMartini.
Well, that's a good thing. I was raised by my father who is Catholic, my mother who is Episcopal, well, actually a Christian Scientist. I had Episcopal upbringing, and then I was asking too many questions in church, and I went on an exploration to study everything I could about every philosophical, spiritual thing I could. And I think that really the whole spiritual movement is about, thank you, I love you.
Oh, so wonderful.
That's my spiritual understanding. Thank you, I love you.
Got to let you go. Thank you. Wonderful. We love you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You're listening to Earth 101. We're getting ready to leave, but I want to remind you that tonight, 5950 Unity Drive at Unity Church at 7:30, you can hear more of Dr. John DeMartini talking about financial abundance and prosperity, the secret to creating and attracting fortune and wealth. He also runs the DeMartini Institute, and I want to tell you he travels about 360 days a year for countries all over the globe and just doing really good work on the world stage. How do you want to close this show? What do you need to say?
I want to say something that I think is really meaningful that many people don't give themselves mm-hmm. permission to say, and that is that no matter what you've done or not done, you're worthy of love. You already have a massive amount of opportunity. And you already have abundance, please take the time. If they can, maybe go to my Facebook to get inspirational quotes
mm-hmm.
or to the website.
What's the website address?
DrDMartini.com.
Okay.
DrDMartini.com.
Yeah.
Please go there because there's video, there's audio, there's radio, there's television, there's education there that can help people open their minds to see their magnificence.
And that's DEMARTINI.com, DrJohnDMartini.com, because I was on the site. It's packed, it's loaded, it's pregnant with grace. I love everybody, and you got to come back.
Thank you.
I love you.
Love you, too.
I love you. What was your name again?
This is Star.
Star. I love you, Star. And today, I am going to be an international keynote speaker all over the world.